Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is Otto Los.
Right.
Said it right this time.
Yes, you did.
And Peter Janowski, my partner, is here with us also. And we're going to go back to Otto. Peter and I, you know, in our profession, deal with a lot of seniors. And it's not even from the financial aspect of it. It's trying to get them to do the family stuff, which has nothing to do with us. But it's trying to bring them aware that whatever return you get on your money, it's fine. But if you leave a mess behind...
That's what you're going to get.
Leave $1 million in a fighting family, leave $10 million in a fighting family. It's useless.
Yeah, I think one of the legacies that we all hope to have is that we've raised children who become worthy citizens, who are happy, who, you know, who just are good people.
Right, exactly,
and, 100%. You know, everybody thinks that there's no issue, but I've heard too many stories from you and from other people about... How, if you avoid reality, all right, try not to avoid reality. Like we talked earlier, Peter talked about life insurance. Some people don't want to talk about life insurance. Like they're never going to need to, they're never going to die. Well, the
right.
facts are, we are going to die. You know, whether you like that idea or not, that's the way it is. And to be afraid to talk about it is a mistake. And that's why, frankly, I did this powwow thing, because I'm trying to... I can't control what goes on in my family when I'm not here anymore.
Right, exactly.
All right? And I can't really control a lot of it now, because as the older you get, the more you realize that your children will not be children all the time, and they're going to become adults 50 years old or whatever. And they're adults, you know, so they have to fend for themselves.
Right, right.
However... There are certain things that you can try to do, and I believe this powwow idea, whatever you want to call it, is one that you can do. You can openly talk about your wishes as far as your health goes. Do you want to be resuscitated? Do you want to be in a nursing home? Would you prefer not to be? And have an open conversation about it. Suppose one, like right now, my wife and I are both fortunate enough to be here. Well, suppose there's only one of us left. And we're a little on the edge. Well, what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, what could we do? You know, just generally talking about stuff like that. Talking about, as we said, stuff. You know, families fight over stuff.
Right.
Not the big stuff. It's clear you have a house and you say nobody. And even there, that's got to be, can be very complicated. One of the houses... somebody lives in the house mm-hmm. with the mother and father. So now they feel as though maybe they have a little more right to the house than the people who don't live in the house. You know, so you should talk about that kind of thing at a powwow.
Right.
We don't have that as an issue, but it is an issue I've seen with a lot of people.
Oh, these mother-daughter houses
yeah.
have become issues. It's a wonderful thing, but then all of a sudden when something happens to mom...
Yeah.
The daughter is in the house, but the brother or, you know, whoever going to be the heir wants their half of it.
But it was never discussed.
Right.
All right.
Meanwhile, that girl took care of mommy for the last 20 years.
Right.
While you lived in California. I'm making this one up.
But it's
are the
true.
Flags that Peter and I put out because they exist.
Yeah, they do.
And all of a sudden you get a phone call from a lawyer saying your brother wants his money.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, I can't afford a mortgage now. So you have to sell the house, and the poor thing who has been the person taking care of the mother is going to downsize or maybe whatever she has to do.
So
and I have one like that recently. The family had to move to Florida.
Yeah, wouldn't it be better to try to talk about that stuff in
100%.
Advance? You know, and I don't know if there's an easy answer to some of these things, but if you don't talk about it, you're never going to come up with an answer.
No, you know,
it's just going to blow up when you're gone. And you know,
like John always says, doing nothing's a choice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. And it does happen. And even with those, you know, there's money, there's, you know, here's an example. Today, if I'm doing this with my daughter, okay, and I'm buying a house with her and it's going to be a split level, I have a life insurance policy. Well, and if I have two children, the other one gets my life insurance policy from the beginning. Or if I don't have a life insurance policy, buy one today. If this is going to be my plan, because a lot of this starts earlier in life, so you could still afford insurance, get a life insurance policy. The money you're saving on rent, et cetera. So now when something happens to you, life insurance could even go to the daughter who's living with you, so she has the money to buy out the other one. Fair is fair.
Right, right.
It can be done with a conversation.
Work it out.
Right.
But like we talked earlier, before we were on the air this morning, about a scenario that I find exists in a lot of families, and that is my wife and I, let's say, lose one of our children.
Right.
Before us.
Right.
And that child, the son, let's say, is married and has a wife and also has a 7-year-old child and a 5-year-old child.
Right.
And in your will, if you're fortunately enough had a will, which it should do, but in your will you say, okay, a lot of people say my money when we're both gone goes to the issue of our biological son.
Right.
All right. Which means then that your daughter-in-law now has to raise a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old without the money going to her. And the question I had is, what does that do? How do you handle, how does that mother of your grandchildren, how is she going to be able to access the money that was left to your issue?
Right. Well,
and I don't know the answer to the question, but I'm raising the question because I find it to be a very common.
Yeah, but if you're raising the question, first step is the husband dies, like you're saying.
Right.
Well, then he had to have insurance. You may not die for 20 more years. It won't be an issue.
But
think about it.
Maybe he doesn't have insurance.
But then it's a whole different issue because you're still alive. So she's not getting anything from your will yet.
No, but I'm assuming now that I'm not here and my wife's not here, and we're now at the point, which is the only time this becomes a fact, right, is that the money would go, your son.
So you're dying basically the day after your son dies.
Yeah, and you haven't made other arrangements.
Right, right.
Or you procrastinated and you didn't make arrangements anyhow.
Right. The my philosophy is, that's, and again, this is not from a legal perspective, where you set up a trust that the money goes to the child, because I have nothing against your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law. But if they get the money outright and then wind up meeting Mr. Wright
and they get married
and they, God forbid, die. Now, Mr. Wright walks away and says, those kids are not mine.
Right.
They're getting ready for high school. And I don't really care because I have a new girlfriend now and we have a life together. You have to. Terrible, but you always have to assume the worst. So right. Therefore, I would want my children to have my money. So in the first respect, the husband who died should have it set up. The money goes into a trust to maintain his wife with a certain percentage, but that their money goes to the children. You as a grandparent could do the same thing, that my money is going to go to my son and daughter-in-law. If my son predeceases, you know, me, I'm not going to change my will, the money then can go into a trust so that your daughter-in-law, because she has to feed them and educate them, you know, right, health education and welfare, that, but she shouldn't be waiting just for your money to do it anyway. She should have whatever hopefully was left from, you know, a life insurance or something. If it wasn't, which I'm saying, if it wasn't, it could be 20 years before you die. So something's going to have to be different.
Yeah, so then that's my...
Then...
That's the scenario. In other words, like you talked about life insurance before. Well, maybe they didn't have life insurance.
Right, right, yeah.
Maybe they said, oh, I can't afford life insurance and I'm only 38 and right, nothing's ever going to happen to me. And I know from my own experience that stuff does happen to people at that age.
Of course.
Age,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Now, we try to push people into term insurance if you can't afford insurance.
Right.
It's the worst kind because you have nothing down the road. But you have two children and anything. I mean, you know, I said earlier about the 20-year-old boy got hit in a car accident. I mean, a motorcycle accident. You know, all the time there's somebody who's 20, 30. The senior center, Great Neck Senior Center. You know the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
They have pictures of a 29-year-old singing at an event 2 weeks ago. I think he's Persian. Makes no difference, but it was I think it was a Persian party. He's dead today. Mm. He was a singer who gets $5,000 a show. Somebody knew him in the Persian community, and he came and he sang for the Great Neck Senior Center. The newsletter came out. And last night I heard, oh, that young man there, nice looking man. All the ladies loved him because he's dead. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what, but
how old was he?
29. So the point is, you don't want to spend your life planning, but it's so important.
Well, my first wife was 40 when she passed away.
Okay, so
I had three children, 9, 7, and 6 at that time. All right?
Right, see, that's...
Not one penny of life insurance on my wife.
Okay.
So if I could back you guys up in selling life insurance.
Well, I have wife. I tell them, because that's when you need it the most, because you have to go to work.
Yeah, exactly. I had no choice. Fortunately, I had a decent job, and I also had, you get Social Security to help you take care of the kids.
Okay. You know, that's right, because they're under 18.
Yeah, but it would have been a lot easier, excuse me, had I had life insurance on my wife.
Yeah, no, those are the things. I think people are more educated today because, you know, and I'm saying this, you weren't educated. People are more aware, that's a better way to say it, of what happens when you don't.
Yeah.
It's the consequences of inaction is really, it's not a level of education because some of the smartest people don't do it until you get hit in the head and say, oh my God, now you're an advocate. You would tell a young couple, make sure you have insurance
on
your
wife. Which I've done with my own family.
Of course, because it can happen again.
Yeah.
But I see we're out of time. I want to, of course, to Jack and to Judge Diamond, it was Jack Martin, Senator Jack Martin's, and to Judge Diamond, it was a wonderful show. And to Peter and Otto, thanks for helping out. To Christina, she gets our love and our prayers. And actually, I'm going over there this afternoon. But hopefully she'll be back next week. And if she doesn't, she'll be back in 2 weeks. I mean, you know, she needs her time, whatever it's going to be. And, of course, to Dan and Chris Janine, as always, thank you. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM. WCWP.org. We'll be back next week. Thank you, everybody.